This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Daled, Mishnah Gimel. We learned in the previous Mishnah an important distinction between a barrel whose structure is still completely intact versus an incomplete barrel. And in the former case, if the overall shape is intact, but it develops cracks, the halacha is it remains a kli that's makabel toma as long as the barrel can hold half a kav of dried figs. Whereas if we're dealing with the gistera, an incomplete barrel that developed cracks, there we say it only remains a kli that's makabel toma if it's able to hold liquids. If due to the cracks it's going to leak, it's not going to hold liquids. Even if it could hold solids, it is thrown away and therefore is not considered a kli that's makabel toma. Our Mishnah defines ezohi gistera. What's considered a gistera? Normally, when we think of a gistera, we imagine like a shard, a piece of the klicheres. Certainly, if it's literally a shard of the barrel, we understand this halacha that people only keep that, bother, continue using it. If it could hold liquids, they'll catch a leak, something else that's dripping, but they're not going to keep that to hold foods. But we now learn that the label of gistera applies even if we're not dealing with literally a shard from a klicheres. Rather, the Mishnah says, Kol she nidlu azneha. Any klicheres whose handles have been removed would already be considered a gistera. The earthenware barrel of the Mishnah had handles, which of course enabled a person to more easily move it around. But if the handles broke off, well then that barrel, you know, missing its handles, is considered a gistera. And thus, people won't bother keeping that to hold food. They'll only bother keeping it if it could contain liquids, and so if it developed cracks and cannot do that, it's not a kli that's makabel toma. The Mishnah now discusses, let's say the top of a barrel broke off, and hayu b'chidudim yotzin. You now have jagged edges protruding at the top of the barrel where the break is. And we can imagine how at different points in the break you have your longer jagged edges. And an issue here is defining the zones at the top there. Is the area of the kli, even at the top, considered part of the kli cheres, so that the particular rules of tumah transmission of a kli cheres would apply at those points? The Mishnah says the rule here is as follows. Kol ha-mekabel ima b'zesim, any portion of the jagged area that could retain olives, meaning that the space between the jagged edges and this section is minimal, and not enough to allow olives to pass through. So this section is fully considered a part of the klicheres, and has a klicheres status, and thus, mitama b'maga, u'kenegdo mitama b'avir. Tumah transmission could happen one of two ways. If, let's say, the klicheres became tame, the klicheres would in turn be mitama, would transmit tuma to food that either touched the klicheres, whether inside or outside, or even if the food never touched the klicheres but was suspended midair, opposite the portion here, it stayed generally towards the top of the klicheres. But if it was connected, if it was opposite the section of the jagged edges, where again the spaces are not large enough to allow olives to escape, well then it's considered to have been within the airspace of the klicheres. As such, if the klicheres is tame, it would make that food tame. But any portion of the broken part at the top of this klicheres that, due to the larger spaces between the jagged edges, cannot contain olives, that section is not truly part of the klicheres, doesn't have klicheres status. But at the same time, these pieces are physically attached to the klicheres, and so they are considered a yad of a klicheres. It's a piece that's connected to and functions along with a klicheres, and so it conducts tuma to or from the rest of the klicheres. Thus, if the klicheres became tame, even these more spaced out jagged edges would become tame. However, mitama b'maga, they in turn would only transmit tuma if food came into direct contact with this section. But if one suspended some food in the airspace between these more space to pour jagged edges, the food would not become tame, because only the actual kli cheres has the power to be metame ba'avir, just by virtue of the food being in the airspace. The yad of a kli cheres, as we learned in the previous perek Mishnah Dalet, does not have the power to transmit tuma ba'avir to something held within its airspace. The Mishnah applies this teaching to a similar case. The Mishnah says that this would also apply if haisa muta al tzida kemin katedra. Say we have a broken barrel that essentially broke down the middle, and here the way this remnant of the barrel could still be used is you lie it on its side, but here too it didn't evenly split down the middle. It was a messy break. You have jagged edges along the upper edge. And the Mishnah describes this, you know, half of a barrel that you lie on its side as a katedra, which was a seat that was used by women riding in a wagon. And the point is, it was a seat that had a back and also two sides. That's what this half of a cheres looked like. You rest it on its side, you have the bottom that's still intact. So that's like sort of the back of the seat. And then you have the curvature of the barrel that comes up along either sides, again, with your jagged edges going along the top. But you have, you know, raised section coming up along the sides. So it's a case of a gistera, meaning since this piece could hold a liquid, and you have to rest it on its side to do so, it is mekabel tumah on the basis that it still has a use. And so the Mishnah follows the opinion of the Chachamim, Mishnah Aleph, who said that even if you have to lie it on its side to use it to hold liquid, that's fine. It's still a gistera, it's mekabel tumah. The Mishnah says that here too, we would apply the teaching we saw in the previous case on the question of it, to what extent those side walls that have the jagged edges at the top, you know, where the break was, how much of those side walls are considered to be completely part of the kli cheres, and that therefore it would transmit tuma according to the laws of kli cheres. The rule is the same, the kolam akavlim abzesim. So going up to the point where the gaps between the jagged edges are relatively small, so that even olives could not escape through those gaps. Metama b'mago, connect the metama b'avir. We define that as part of the kli cheres, and so if the kli became tame, it would transmit tuma not only through touching, but even on the basis of putting some food in the airspace of that section of this piece of a kli cheres. But if you're at a point where there's larger gaps between the jagged edges, so that in this part of it, it can't hold olives. This part is not considered the actual kli cheres. It's a yad of a kli cheres. And thus, as we explained above, metama b'magav ina connect the metama b'avir. If, again, the kli cheres became tame, then if food touched this section, it would become tame, because as a yad of a kli cheres, it conducts tuma from the kli cheres and would be metama that food. But if one merely placed food in the airspace of this section of the piece of kli cheres, the food would not become tame, because only the kli cheres itself has the power to transmit tuma ba'avir. The Mishnah concludes with a distinction that pertains to the rule that we discussed in Mishnah Aleph, that an incomplete kli cheres only classifies as a gistera that would still be mekabel tuma if it not only can hold a minimal amount of liquid, but also it's able to stand by itself. If it needs something else to prop it up, then we assume people would just discard it, they wouldn't bother keeping it, and therefore it's no longer a kli, it's no longer mekabel tuma. The Mishnah here teaches an exception to this rule, and it is that if we have a broken portion that includes shulei kurfayos, the pointed bottoms of the kurfian utensils, or v'shulei kosim hatzidonium, or the tzidonium kosim utensils, you have the bottom of that, meaning it's a broken piece, but the broken piece includes the bottom. And again, the bottom is pointed. Halacha in these cases is afal pisha einim yocholim leishev shelo mesumachin, even though due to the pointed bottoms they can't stand by themselves, tmein. If they could hold the liquid when placed in whatever, you know, insert they're placed in, they would remain with the status of a kli. They're makabel tuma. For even though they cannot stand by themselves, that's not an issue in this case. That's how they were designed initially. As if you have a kli like one of these, where it's designed to be put in something else, to be propped up, well, then there's no reason at all to assume that just because, you know, the top portion broke off, that a person would discard the kli, for it could, you know, essentially still be used the way it was always used. Namely, you put the liquid in, and then you put in whatever insert it's meant to be put in. So in this case, that the rule we studied in Mishnah Aleph doesn't apply, even though, again, it can't stand by itself, and it's not complete, it's a gistera, it nevertheless remains a kli, it remains, you know, it's considered useful still, and therefore it is mekabel tuma.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.